What's the relationship? How do I see them? Now, in the biblical language is interesting because it when it speaks about a spirit or a soul, it's very hard to define exactly what the meaning is. It speaks about nefesh, which is usually translated as soul. Nefesh is basically means a person, much more than it means a soul. When it speaks that nefesh ki techta, when a person sins, it doesn't really mean when a soul does sin. On the other hand, it's a particular choice about nefesh, a particular choice of a word that makes in some ways the dichotomy is questionable. In some way you may say that even though the biblical story, which is the beginning of all that, not only in the Bible and in the Jewish literature, but in so many others, but creation of man as a lump of matter, of earth, putting into him the soul, that is this kind of an operation is very clear, very, very meaningful, but then it means that two different, very separate entities. As I say, the usage later is far more complex. It mixes those two things together into something far more complex. When is the expression about that don't eat the blood, because the blood is the soul, or the blood is the spirit. Yandam hu hanefesh. Then, what does it mean? Does it mean life force, soul? Now, these questions that may seem to be completely, theological, are of course problems that have to do with how you deal with a person in real life. How do you see the combination, and how you treat that combination, which is. In some way, to jump to a different subject, one of the problems of psychology, contemporary psychology, is that a psychologist deals with the soul or the spirit or whatever it is, but he's not sure that something like this exists at all. In fact, he's pretty sure that there's no soul. But he's dealing with the soul as a psychiatrist. And now the whole realm of what we call psychosomatic effects, influences, counter-influences, and therapies are again connected with something like, I would say, almost intentional obscuring what we are speaking about, in order to be able to be both a practicing psychologist and a practicing materialist, both of them together, without feeling any contradiction. For to do that, you have to obscure the terms, so it can be done. But I'm trying to go back to the Jewish view, which is important therefore in trying to understand the relationship. Now, I would put it that the Jewish view that begins, so to say, in the biblical, the Genesis story as a dichotomy, it comes to that in life, which is the thing that is basically more interesting to us, at least, in life, it is really not a soul in a body in that sense, but one would call it almost a symbiotic coexistence of two elements. Symbiotic in the sense that both of them are working together, influencing each other, and creating some kind of an entity that is the combined entity. That means that when we speak about people, living people, we speak about something like which is a combination, body-soul combination, and not one of them put apart. And that is also the notion that because of that unity, which is body-soul unity, there is really not, one cannot speak about punishment and reward in the times to come, in the life to come, really in any separate way, because then it won't mean anything. The only meaningful way of speaking about reward or punishment is when you have the combination back again. So the notion of resurrection of the dead is in fact almost a natural outcome of the notion that when you have only part of this thing, either body or soul, you are not dealing with anything that has any real substance, almost with an abstraction. Now to clarify it, it is a story, a Talmudic story that tries to explain this, the question and the answer, and that is that there was a king that had an orchard, wanted to keep the trees from being eaten, so he put two guards. One of the guards is blind, the other one is lame. And now, having two of them, each of them cannot really get to the foot, one because he doesn't see, and the other because he cannot move. So they try to figure out a way of stealing the foot. So the blind man takes the lame man on his shoulders, and so one of them is seeing, the other is moving. So they go and steal the food. When the king comes back and sees that all the food is stolen, he demands it from the gods. And the blind man says, "But I'm blind, I cannot do anything." The lame says, "I'm lame, I cannot walk." So the king figures out, so he puts again the lame over the blind and flogs them together. Now, that is the Talmudic story, which is put as a part of a discussion between the author of the Mishnah and the Roman emperor. Now, the story here is very clear, because he was asked about body and soul and responsibility. In that sense, the body is blind, meaning it has the physical power, but it has not doesn't have the understanding, the inner side. The soul, on the other hand, has all the understanding, but doesn't have the physical power to do it. So the combination, body soul combination, is very powerful, because it can do everything. It is feeling, thinking, seeing, and on the other hand, it can also move.